Heavenly Father, we praise you that you are here with us this morning. Thank you for the presence of your Spirit in each heart that knows you. Father, we pray for any who might be here today who have not yet put their trust in Christ, if there are any here in that state, that they will see their need, that they will believe and trust you and accept Christ as their Savior before they leave here today. We pray that you would move in each heart as a believer today. Revive us, draw us closer to you, encourage us, fill us with your Spirit, empower us. You have given us all that we need to live for you in these troubling times, difficult times. But Father, you are with us. You are victorious, and we have a glorious future ahead. So we pray that in this hour, as we worship together, hear your word preached, may our hearts receive what you have for us, encourage us and build us up, challenge us. Father, if we are entertaining sin in our lives, that you will convict us so that we might get right with you and get back on the track with you where we're supposed to be. We thank you that you're a loving Father. You don't cast us out. We read the verses how that nothing can separate us from you. And so we pray that if any of us need to make things right with you today, that we would do that. Confess those sins, repent of them, and turn from them. And we pray that you would bless Pastor as he brings the message. Fill him with your Spirit and guide him as he conveys what you have given to him to share with us from your word. Your word is powerful, and we pray that it will fully accomplish its purpose in each of our lives. Thank you, Father, again for this time together. We commit the hour to you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
The offering plate is... All right, we're looking in Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7 and verse 24. Excuse me. I think the change in the seasons is getting to me a little bit here, but hopefully it'll go well. Mark chapter 7, verse 24. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into a house, and would have no man know it. But he could not be hid. For a certain woman, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying, go thy way. The devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf, and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit, and touched his tongue, and looking up to heaven, he sighed, and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man, but the more he charged them, so much the more, a great deal, they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, we thank you this morning for your precious word to our hearts, and we pray that you'd bless this as we meditate upon it and think about it. We pray, Lord, that your will would be accomplished through this scripture today. We do pray, our Father, for each one who is here. You know our hearts, you know our minds, you know all about us. And we just ask you to help us that we might truly walk in fellowship with you and with one another, that we might love you and serve you in the way we should, and that we might have good fellowship together in Christ. We do pray, our Father, for those who are sick today. We think of Sue Ellen and her aunt, we pray for her. We ask you to undertake in her life. And we pray that you'd give comfort this time. We pray for Elena, that you'll help her, our Father, and guide and direct her, bring her back to us if possible. And we pray for Jane Wagner also, that she'll soon be back in our midst once again. We do pray for any others who are going through sicknesses, difficult times. We pray that you'll comfort their hearts and meet their needs. And Lord, we thank you for our missionaries. We thank you for the work that they're doing. We think of Peter and Lydia there in Athens. We ask you to bless them as they're seeking to carry on the ministry there of the church and also the other ministries that they have. We know she works with the refugees and he works in the prison sometimes if he's allowed to. So we pray that you'd open up things once again, our Father, give them the victory in being able to minister the word of God. And we pray that you'll bless these children. We thank you, Lord, for the way that many times children are able to lead adults in the right direction. It works both ways, we know that. But we do thank you for these who are coming, for this lady that has become to come regular to church and has joined and is going on with the Lord. And we just ask you to continue to bless in a very special way. And help us here. Our Father, we certainly desire to see all of our folks come back and that we might be able to get new ones that would come in. So we pray that you'll work in a very special way in our midst here. We think of our country today, our Father, and the needs that we have. We know there's so much violence and conflict going on and all of these problems that have arisen. We think of the virus that has been spreading about. And we pray, O Lord, that soon these things might simmer down, that we might be able to go forth. We thank you for the leadership in our government and pray your blessings upon them, that you'll give them guidance and leadership in everything that they do, that they will do the right thing. Lord, that they'll listen to you, your word and follow you and do your will. We do pray, our Father, concerning the elections, that we as your people would take responsibility, vote, and seek to make the best judgment that we possibly can. May your holy will be done. We thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's turn again to Mark chapter 7, following on with the Lord Jesus and where he's going in his ministry. I like that last verse that we read. He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. He has done all things well. Certainly that's true, isn't it? And you know, the Lord Jesus didn't always do things the same way. Here we find he was meeting the needs of people in unusual ways. Ordinarily, he was always working with the Jewish people. These were his people, and that was his main ministry. And here we find Jesus and his disciples left Israel and went about 50 miles up to Tyre, and later on to Sidon, these two cities there, which is in, presently would be in the country of Lebanon. So that's where they were going, and it seems that the Lord is still trying to find a place to rest. You know, they tried that before. They left after they heard about John the Baptist being killed, and no doubt a great deal of grief there. And tiredness from all of the work that they had been doing, they went aside, took the boat over to the other side, and before they got there, the whole crowd was there ready to hear more from the Master and to eat again, of course. They always enjoy doing that. And so Jesus is still trying to find a place. Notice he wasn't planning to minister here. His work was primarily with Israel at this time, And so this was a time for rest. And yet, once again, we find that he had something else to do. It says he could not be hid. Jesus was always noticed wherever he went, wasn't he? Sometimes for good, sometimes for not so good, because the Pharisees were constantly watching out for him and trying to find something against him. But here we find this lady. Now, this was a lady who was not one of the people of Israel. We find that many times in the Bible, that these other people come in from different places. And here, this is a Gentile lady, a certain woman. Doesn't give her name or anything. But there's a lady there whose young daughter had an unclean spirit. She heard of him and came and fell at his feet. What did she hear? What do you think? She probably heard about all of the wonderful things that Jesus had done and the teachings that he gave. And about this God, this Father, this one that he had come to reveal to the people and to show forth his glory and his majesty. This lady heard all of that. And she came and she fell at his feet. And you can just see the desperation of this woman, right? Where had she already looked? We don't know for sure. But I can imagine that she has been to every source she could think of some way to help her daughter. We've seen that before with the other lady who had the issue of blood. It says she spent all of her money on the doctors for 12 years, and finally she came to Jesus, and he met her need. And here we find this dear lady coming and falling down at the feet of Jesus in humility, in worship, and adoration. And she comes to him in behalf of her daughter. Now let's look at the other passage. In Matthew 15, this is a parallel passage. Let's read that. Matthew 15, verse 21. It says it in a little different words. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan, says here, came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, Thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. So here we find, he speaks about this lady who was, it says, a Gentile, a Greek, a Syrophoenician. So apparently, like Syria, she was a Syrian person who was under the Phoenicians at this time. But anyway, not an Israelite. And Jesus said he's come primarily to work with Israel at this time. And he wasn't usually ministering to other peoples. She was not one of God's chosen people, we could say. God had set aside Israel and worked with them in a special way. And at this particular time, she was not one of God's chosen people. She did not have the Holy Scriptures as Israel did. You know, this was all given directly to them at that time. So this is someone different. She did not have a covenant relationship with God. You know, we see that over in Ephesians. Well, almost a passage that Brother Steve was giving us this morning. Ephesians 2, verse 11. Right after that. Ephesians 2 and verse 11. It says, in whom, that is in Christ, also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. So here we find this woman knew nothing of all this until she came to know, she came to Jesus. And she was outside of the covenant relationship, and yet she dared to come to him and to bow down and to worship him. She was a mother with a great burden that only Jesus could take away. Her little daughter was tormented, as it says, by an evil spirit, a demon. And she was helpless to relieve her pain. You know, think of that. Mothers especially who have that relationship with their children. They want to see them healthy. They want to see them doing well. They don't want anything to happen to them, you know. And here, this is this lady's preoccupation. Her daughter is tormented, it says, by this evil, unclean spirit. And she had heard of Jesus somehow. And I don't know how much she heard or what she knew of him, but she knew of his mighty power, and she believed that he could help her. You know? And that's how it began. I'm sure she didn't know a great deal. And you know, that's the way it is with us when we first hear the gospel. We first hear something about Jesus, and we just, you know, you don't really know much. And yet, what does it take? Jesus said to this lady, great is your faith. Right? Your faith. That's what we need. We need to believe that Jesus is able to do what he says. In this case, this matter of casting out the demons. He had already shown that in many places. The maniac of Gadara and these others that he had helped cast them out. Somehow this lady had heard about it, and she thought, well, if he can do it for them, he can do it for us. Right? And no doubt, she believed that. And her prayer, notice in Matthew 15, verse 22, again, where we were before. Let's see her prayer. She came out and she cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. I say she's calling upon him. Even though she wasn't Jewish herself, she knew who he was. And she cried out to him for mercy. And she cried out to him for mercy, yes. And she says, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. So, what happened? The strange thing here is, Jesus ignored her. Can you imagine that? That he didn't answer her a word. And he just pretended she wasn't there. Well, that's something, isn't it? Think about that. We think about the Lord Jesus, who usually had such compassion on people. You know? He saw the multitudes and he would help them whatever way he could. But this woman He says, he doesn't say anything. He just ignores her. And then the disciples come along and they say, send her away. Send her away. Hey, now this is the way to do it, right? You remember they had said the same thing about the crowd. When there was all this multitude there and it got late, what was there? They said, send them away that they can go find something to eat, right? Send them away. This is the simple thing to do, right? And Jesus told them then, no, you feed them. And he gave them the food. And here, they said, send her away. Send her away. She's crying after us. So you see this dear lady just continued. She didn't just say it once. She continued to say, Lord, have mercy on me. Come on, let's do something. My daughter is in bad condition. She needs help. Help her. And she kept on and on and on doing this. And Jesus, he didn't answer. And here in verse 27 of chapter Mark chapter 7 again, he says, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs. You know, we're accused sometimes of being insensitive to people, but I mean, come on. This is Jesus, right? And he's saying, he's implying that they're like dogs. Huh? Oh, my goodness. If we tried that, I think we'd probably get in trouble, Steve. What do you think? Anyway, she keeps crying to him. And he's explaining to her that his mission is to the children of Israel, not to the Gentiles. And the Gentiles were often called dogs by the Jews, right? They looked at them as being outsiders, not fit to be in the same category as they were. They were the people of God. You know, we're the children of God. And these people are dogs. You know any dogs? Huh? Do we look at people sometimes and think, you know, they're beyond reach? You know, these people are not, they're not in this, on the same level as we are. You know, dogs. And I think people can have that attitude, and of course it's not the right one to have. But Jesus had a different reason for what he's doing here. And she said yes. Notice her attitude. She said, yes, but the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. See, he couldn't get rid of this woman, right? No matter what he tried, he ignored her. Or he insulted her. Huh? And she just kept right on. Humbled herself before the Lord and said, yes, but the little dogs under the table, the pets, get to eat the crumbs. Now, there were two different kinds of dogs back then, of course. The Jews usually thought of the Gentiles as being those scavengers out there in the street, you know, wild dogs, that kind of thing that nobody wanted to have anything to do with. But here she's talking about the little dogs in the house, the pets that you can caress, you know, rub, take care of, and all that. And she says, oh, wait, but the little dogs eat the children's crumbs. And Jesus said, well, that's all it takes. You show your faith by humbling yourself before God and allowing him to have his way. He says, for this saying, go thy way, the devil has gone out of thy daughter. That sounds very simple, doesn't it? After all this, this woman has humbled herself before the Lord and cried out to him. And he says, it's your faith. Your faith that is working here. That's over in Matthew again. These passages, there's a little bit different. He says, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. So Jesus was going to answer her prayer all the time. He didn't do it right away. And sometimes it depends on how we approach him, right? How do we approach the Lord? You know, we approach him. He is the Master. He is the Lord. He's the one who has the all power in heaven and in earth, and we come to him with our request, whatever it might be. And he is certainly able to meet it, right? So here, it's unusual circumstances. Jesus dealing with this Gentile woman and bringing her to a place of faith in him and healing her daughter, setting her free from the clutches of the devil. And what a wonderful thing that is. So she came home and she found her daughter laying on the bed peacefully, completely free from any influence of Satan. And God answered her prayer. Jesus met her needs, just like he meets our needs. He meets our needs when we come to him in humble faith, believing, trusting in him. The second incident that we find here, they leave from Tyre and Sidon and they go back down into Israel, down near the Sea of Galilee, through the midst of the place there, Decapolis, which means 10 cities. You remember this was the same area where he had healed the maniac of Gadara. And at that time, the people didn't want to have anything to do with him. They sent them away, right? Because of the situation with the pigs, you remember? All the pigs had gone down into the water and had drowned. And they sent Jesus away. But now, he comes back. And they bring to him this man that had a real need. He was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. So, we find here that they want him to help this man. He was deaf and we could say deaf and dumb or deaf and mute, however you want to put that. But they come and the people bring this man to him. And like the mother who pled for her daughter, these people plead with Jesus to heal this friend. They ask him, they beseech him to put his hand upon him. They think, you know, there's something about that. You know, you touch him. But Jesus didn't even have to touch people. See? He could do it by remote control, whatever, right? Anyway, he had that power. And so they bring him in, and Jesus uses an unusual method to heal this man. Usually he would just touch them or say, okay, be healed, you know, that kind of thing. But you notice, the thing I'm trying to point out is that Jesus doesn't always do everything the same way every time. You see? He has different ways. And this time, notice they bring him to him. He took him aside, first of all, from the multitude. So they went alone to a quiet spot. He put his fingers into his ears, and he spit, and he touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said, Ephatha, which means be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. Okay? So, this man, he couldn't hear, and so Jesus used sign language, didn't he, with him? What do you think? Put his fingers in his ears. Right? He said, now this is what we're going to do. We're going to work on your ears, right? So he showed him what he was doing. And then, I'm not sure what the spit was about, but anyway, something, it doesn't say he spit on him or anything, right? No. But it had some significance in this. And he touched his tongue. So he put his fingers in his ears, he touched his tongue. He says, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to open your ears, and we're going to straighten out your tongue so you can speak. See? So he's using sign language. There's nothing wrong with using sign language, right? And being able to help this man understand what's going on. And he looked up to heaven. So here's the prayer. Praying to God and to give him the glory. And he says in the Aramaic language, Ephatha, which means, thank goodness they tell us, be opened. So his ears were unstopped and his tongue was loosed so that he could speak plain. And he treated this man according to his special need. You know, the man couldn't hear, so it wouldn't do him any good to talk to him. He wouldn't hear him until he opened his ears. And he treated him in a special way, just like he does many times with us. He knows each one of us individually, and he treats us accordingly, right? He knows what we need, and he'll help us. Sometimes it might be in one way, sometimes in a completely different way. And we just have to trust the Lord with whatever our problem might be, right? Or whatever our situation is, to look to him and allow him to work in the way that he desires to do. You know, sometimes we've asked the Lord, someone's sick. We pray and he heals them immediately, right? Sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes it takes longer. And sometimes they don't get healed at all, right? What does he do? He takes them out, right? And we might say, well, is that just natural things that's happening? You know, this would have happened anyway. But don't you think the Lord knows what he's doing? He is able to take and whatever the situation is. And here, the people are witnessing this miracle, and they're amazed to see what happens. You know, it isn't strange. They brought this man to Jesus. What did they expect him to do? Huh? Apparently, they begged him to open his ears and to help him speak. But then when Jesus actually did that, they were amazed. They were surprised. You know, are we that way? You know, we pray about something, Lord, would you please do this? And he does it. And what? Wow, he actually did it. You know, where is our faith, you know? That's like I always think of that story when Peter was released from prison. You remember that one? The angel gets Peter out of the prison. These people, they're in their house church praying fervently that Peter might be released from prison, right? So Peter comes and knocks on the door. Rhoda goes to the door to answer it, and she runs back in the house. Peter's at the door. Oh, I can't be Peter. He's in jail. Right? You pray about something, but do you really believe he's going to do it? And that's the question. And here, these people, they were amazed that he actually did it, but they gave him the glory for it. They were astonished, it says. And here they said, he hath done all things well. That should be our testimony, isn't it? Whatever we're doing, the Lord Jesus knows what he's doing. He does all things well. And we can give him the praise and the honor and the glory for all that he does. So the question is, what is your need today? Do you know what you need? First of all, have you trusted Jesus as your Savior? You know, that's the greatest need that we have. With this lady that came to Jesus, she didn't know him at all. And yet she came. And she got to know him. She saw what he could do. And her faith was in him. That's what we need, isn't it? First of all, to come to faith in Christ. And that's the greatest need anyone has, is to know him. And then The question is, are we living in obedience to his will? And we read about the lady in the letter there in Greece that had gotten saved when she was very young, but never had grown. She was just drifting along until finally she was instructed, and now she's faithfully living for the Lord, serving him. And that's what God wants in our lives. He wants us to live in obedience to him. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning, didn't we? When Eve was speaking with the serpent. You remember the serpent said, God didn't really mean what he said, right? Is God really going to kill you over this? You know. Yes, we need to believe what God is saying to us and walk in obedience to it. Whatever burdens that we have, we need to look to him and cry out to him for our needs. You know, Jesus is concerned, even sometimes when it may look like he's not. It's like this lady. She could have very easily said, oh, well, if he's not going to talk to me, I'll just go home. But no, she was persistent, and he did answer her prayers. And he will do that for us as well if we will look to him and believe him. So, like the friends of the deaf man, Jesus has the answer to every problem that we face, and we need to look to him. It says in Philippians 4:19, very familiar verse, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Whatever it is that we need, the Lord is more than sufficient to meet our needs, whether it be some kind of healing or whether it be some kind of restoration or whatever we have need of. He's always capable and willing to hear and answer our prayers. Father, we thank you for your precious word to our hearts today. And we ask you, Lord, to help us to look to you in faith believing, to humble ourselves before you, and to trust you for each and everything that we need in our life. May our Lord Jesus Christ be glorified, we pray, in all each and every one of us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.